Hi everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today to my ministry. My name is Nellie. Today is March 15th, 2024. Today's song recommendation is Hymn of Heaven by Phil Wickham. Today's scripture will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 23. We are continuing reading one chapter at a time, and so we are on chapter 23, but I'm also going to read the ending of chapter 22 in Genesis because somehow I overlooked that and didn't read the ending about the family of Nahor. So I'll be reading also Genesis 22 from verses 20 through 24. Chapter 23 is about Sarah's death and burial. Sarah is the wife of Abraham. We've been reading about them, how God finally gives them a son. Abraham is 100. Sarah is 90. And I might have Abraham's age a little wrong, so I apologize. And God finally gives them their son Isaac in their old age. And so, without these recordings of when somebody lived and died, how weird would that be if God's story didn't include this kind of detail? So he marks in chapter 23 that Sarah's going to die and she's buried, and where she's buried. And then the story will just continue, but these details are important so we can start to have an intimate relationship with God. And if we already have an intimate relationship with God, that we grow even more intimate with Him because we're interested in hearing the details of His story. So I want to start us out by just praying, just a simple prayer that everybody has new ears to hear something new, new eyes to see something new, and just a heart to open up and welcome in more details. If there's anybody out there that hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that by reading the details of God's story, that you will accept His Son as Lord and Savior. So let us pray. Dear Father, first of all, we want to thank you that we are allowed to read your holy word wherever we want to. Unless we go out of the country into some of these countries that don't allow for it. But if we are in a country where we can hold a Bible and read the Bible wherever we're at, we're just thankful. We're thankful. And we ask that your people all around the world find a way to listen and hear your Holy Bible. Today, we just simply ask that you have your word come to life, that the words just come off the page as though we're reading the most interesting book in the whole wide world, in which we are. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you do for us, that you teach us about you. We're so thankful. So today we just ask for ears to hear something new, for eyes to see something new, and for hearts to grow even more intimate with you through the details of your story. And for those that are listening that haven't accepted you as Lord and as your Son as Lord and Savior, that they accept you today, Father, with either the chapter or something I've added, which I plan on telling in the testimony, that they take scripture and the testimony and something triggers in them that they accept you today. We ask that you bless the listeners. I ask that you bless this ministry. You know my plight. You know how I just want to bring people to you. But I know that I can't do it on my own and in my own strength. So I cry out to you to bless this message and to bless the ears that hear it. Thank you, Father. We ask all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry I started to weep there for just a second because he knows my story. He knows how much it takes for me to get a message out. And he helps me. And I'm so very thankful. So very thankful. Let's get started. If you want to grab your Bibles, we'll begin at chapter 22, the family of Nahor. Now, before I get started, I know I'm going to pronounce some names incorrectly, and I'm going to apologize beforehand. The family of Nahor. Now, it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, "Indeed, Milcah has also borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kazed, Hazo, Phildash, Phidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Tibah, Gehem, Thahesh, and Makkah." Pause. That's the ending of chapter 22. Would like you to circle the name Rebecca, because Rebecca, she ends up marrying Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. So let's get started on chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, "I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, "Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead." Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, "If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as property for a burial place among you." Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead." Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, "If you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field, Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. Pause. This field and cave, the land there where Sarah is buried, she's the first one buried in these caves. Those that later on will join her will be Abraham, of course. So Abraham and Sarah, then Jacob and Leah, and Isaac and Rebekah are all buried in Machpelah, otherwise named the cave of the patriarchs. So Sarah is the first one buried in the cave of the patriarchs. And, you know, Sarah, she's just died. Abraham is still seeing her body. He's having to make this purchase, and he's got to be just so distraught. And the people, the sons of Heth, have so much respect for him. And by this time, I'm sure word is spread around how God is walking with Abraham. How God has destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And how Lot was rescued out of there. People have they call him Lord. They have such respect for him because he knows. They know that God is with Abraham. It doesn't say that here, but of course, they've got to have gained respect, because you know how it's still the same as it is today, as it was then. Everybody hears everything. And so that is how Abraham had to get this land, this field and cave. Now, he had only asked for the cave, but Ephron gave also the field and the trees that were in that space. And this burial place of the patriarchs has been a constant dispute between Muslims and the religion of the Judaizers, or any Christian that believes in the Son of God, Jesus. They haven't been able to ever fully claim this plot of land where the patriarchs are buried. I believe those of the Jewish religion can pray at one side of the cave, and then the Muslims have the other side of the cave. Now, the Jewish people can only go, I believe, where the cave is for, it might be Isaac and Rebekah, and I might have that wrong. But the Muslims can go in from their end, and they can go all the way in. So there's been a constant battle between two people groups, I would say, the descendants of Ishmael. Remember the maid servant, the Egyptian maid servant that Sarah had Abraham sleep with, and then Abraham and Hagar have Ishmael, and the two bloodlines are still fighting to this day. So that's just the way it's been. There's been nothing but fights over there, especially over this land, this field where these caves are, the cave of the patriarchs. So very interesting how this begins. The first person buried in the cave of the patriarchs. And I named the song the Hymn of Heaven. I dedicated that song today to Abraham because I could just feel his loss. He had loved her. He had loved Sarah so much. And they had a lot of years together. I mean, Sarah might not have had that long to be Isaac's mom before God took her, but Isaac loved her, and we'll go into that story. Chapter 24 is titled A Bride for Isaac. And again, I had you circle Rebecca from the family of Nahor, who ends up marrying Isaac. So we'll get to chapter 24 as soon as possible. I do think I'm going to read one more psalm after this, and then I'll get back into Genesis and continue reading. I don't know if I've got anybody following, reading one chapter at a time. I hope so, even just one person. The testimony that I have is just to kind of go into my thoughts. I am currently in a Bible study, family Bible study, and we're studying the book of Isaiah. And as every book is jam-packed full, Isaiah is really jam-packed full. I mean, they all are, but there's a lot going on in the book of Isaiah. And I thought, we were going to study, in fact, we did our Bible study. We studied chapters 5 and 6. But prior to this, I decided that I would listen to the Bible app on my phone and hear somebody read it to me. And this is the blessing that God gave me that night as I was had my earbuds in and I was listening to the man reading the Bible, 5 and 6 of Isaiah to me. It became clear. Now, I've already known this because Jesus, ne God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the creator. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. God never has changed. And as I was listening to the Bible app, I could hear Jesus' voice and his character so clearly. And of course, his voice has not changed because Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God in the flesh. But Jesus, before incarnation, like I've said all along, he was from the beginning, according to the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh. He was in the beginning. He is the beginning. But before coming down to be born, to teach us about himself, it's him walking in the garden. He is at the flood. He is standing next to Abraham, discussing the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he is talking in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 covers the, oh, I thought I wrote it down. Hang on. Let me bring that up really quick because I want to get the name of that parable. Oh, I wish I would have wrote it down. Sorry for the noise. So it's titled God's Disappointing vineyard. I challenge you to hear that audibly. Play it on your Bible app and see if you can't clearly hear Jesus, his voice and his character. And then turn to the parable of the vine growers in Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20, it's Jesus and he's telling a parable, and it is titled The Parable of the Wicked Vine Dressers. So it would be Luke 20 verses 9 through 16. Excuse me. I'll have you listen all the way to verse 19. And when you listen to both of those parables in Isaiah, now this is a long time before Jesus comes down to be born to the Virgin Mary. And then for those that just will not open the New Testament, why not? Are you happy serving the God that you're currently serving? My opinion is that you're not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Open up the New Testament. Turn to Luke chapter 20 or listen to it, preferably audibly. And you'll be able to hear Jesus telling both parables. In Isaiah, before incarnation, in Luke, incarnation. He teaches us these little, not little, I mean, these are big things, because the Holy Spirit's role in our lives as believers isn't to point us to the Father or to Himself. He points us to the Son, Jesus Christ. And He teaches us about the Son, Jesus Christ, because He left His mighty heavenly kingdom to come down to be born. The one that was walking around in the Old Testament from the beginning. He comes down to be born in the flesh to teach us about himself. And then he sends back his spirit to teach us about himself. Now God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a mystery. But we know, because Jesus' own words said, before Abraham was, I am. So he was speaking from the burning bush to Moses. When Moses said, well, if somebody asks who you are, can you give me your name? And God says, I am who I am. So we need to see Jesus in the entire story. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us about the Son. Why? Because the Son is who sets us free, and the Son is the only way back to heaven. We cannot believe in any other thing, in any other way. Only through the Son of God will we be able to make it back into heaven, where he currently sits. Because remember, he went back in the flesh. He died on the cross for our sins. He resurrected on the third day, defeating death, defeating Satan. And he stuck around for 40 days, and then he ascends back into heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again. He will come again. Only this time, he gets rid of evil for good. And those that have put their faith and trust in him will be able to live with him for all eternity. We've got to start telling people the good news. And there's a lot of people hungry to hear the truth. And the truth is Jesus, and I pray that this testimony of me being able to hook these two parables, from one from Isaiah, one from Luke, and that somebody out there just needed to hear and make that comparison and believe in Jesus. Because listen, we can't take for granted what the Son did by coming down to be born. We can't take that for granted. There's a lot of people that think they can live however they want to live when the Bible continuously says live holy lives. And if you're not living a holy life on purpose, then you're not really saved, I don't believe. Because then you would be living a holy life, trying to live a holy life on purpose, not the other way around. Well, for one example, there are people that believe that before time began, people were selected out of their mother's womb. They were just people that were going to be born. And from this bunch, this was a predestined bunch to be saved and to live with God for eternity. That eventually every one of these predestined people were going to be saved. But nobody else can be saved. Just the ones that were predestined from before time. And so you might be out there thinking, well, I'm one of those people. And so you're living your life the way you want to live it because you're one of those people, no matter what, you're getting into heaven. Or believe on this in some other way because you were born into a certain people group. Or whatever the case may be. But anyway, these people that believe that they were predestined, and there is scripture that says before you were born, I should find that scripture. It's, I can't think of it right on the spot. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. And I can see where people will grab that we were selected in our mother's womb before. God knew us before we were even born. But listen, if God had pre-selected people at the very beginning, and then why would Jesus have to come down to die on a horrific death on the cross if he already knew who was already selected from the very beginning? I shared the other day that Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. And then God had a conversation with Jesus and Satan and asked, you know, how he should do things, asked their opinion. And I believe they think that God decided to go with Satan's idea. I don't know what they believe exactly, but there are a lot of funny little ideas out there that people think that they're saved because they're special, or I don't know, but God came down to be born to hopefully save as many people as he could that would believeth in him. And he wouldn't have had to do that if people were already assigned to live with him for eternity. He wouldn't have had to do that. So think about these things. Also, I am in my personal reading, I'm in the book of Job. I just finished the book of Job. Such a powerful book. And as I was reading Job at the very end, when God is talking about let me just turn to it here. I can never remember the name of that creature that lives in the Jordan. I want to say Leviathan, but should be more prepared. I wasn't going to bring this up because I just read it last night. So, Leviathan. And at the end of 41, chapter 41 in Job, it says, On earth there is nothing like him which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. And I thought, oh my gosh, God is talking about Satan. Because who else is king over all the children of pride if not the one that was the most prideful and got cast out of heaven? And so God shows us as he shows us things. You know, I read the book of Job, I don't know how many times, but I always ask God, show me something new, and that's what he showed me. And I'd never noticed that before, how Satan has many names, and one of them is Leviathan, the very creature that he talks about in Job 41. So I'm going to go ahead and end there. I was going to try to come on a second time and read a psalm, but I don't think I'm going to have time. But thank you for sticking with me till the very end of this message. I really do appreciate you listening. I want to give a shout out to my friend Tammy for promoting my ministry. Also want to give a shout out to my friend Melanie. Melanie, you lifted my spirits up by what you wrote on my podcast today, this week. It just really, sometimes a person just needs to hear words of encouragement, and I thank you for that. So I thank Tammy and I thank Melanie for being such great friends. I have many great friends. I also want to thank all those that follow me and support me. I want to promote Angie, another friend of mine, her online store. I keep forgetting to promote her store, not on purpose, but I want to promote her online store. She has been so helpful to me in so many ways. She's a wealth of knowledge and information, and she's just been so kind to me. She makes some great soaps, and she crochets. She has such talent. Her online store is howardshandmade.com. I hope that you go on there and support her online store. Again, that's howardshandmade.com. I hope that you listen to the song, Hymn of Heaven by Phil Wickham. I selected this song, and I might have said this earlier, but I selected it and dedicate it to Abraham for mourning his wife. And Abraham believed and had faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He didn't get to see his day, but he had faith and he believed in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. All the glory to God. Much love to all. Until next time. Bye.